It is Bronze and Modern Gods. That logo doesn't lie. And it's John, and that guy there is Richard. What's going on, Richard?
Hey, nothing much. How you doing, John?
I am doing great. I'm in the catbird seat.
Yes, you are.
What does that even mean? What's a catbird
seat? I don't know. I use the expression, you know, you're saving your pin money, and somebody asked me, what the hell are you talking about? So, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey,
old people talk.
If you're a youngin', you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Bronze and Modern Gods. Even if you're an old person, you can still do that. Give us a like if you like this video. Subscribe if you haven't already. And leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Today, it's a regular bonus episode. And by that, I mean it's a great bonus episode. We have your questions, your comments. We go through them and we answer them the best we can. We also have the Instagram Market Watch with Ali from Elite_Comics11. Some minor sales this week, I would say. Tiny sales, he said sarcastically. But first, Richard, we're having a live sale tonight.
We are?
Yes, today, October 22nd, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Join us at Bronze and Modern Gods on Instagram for another one of our fun pop-up live sales. I have some bizarre stuff that I'm going to be selling tonight. Lots of hot modern books, a lot of variants, some obscure later printings of things, a ton of Bronze Age horror, if you're into Bronze Age horror. Richard, what do you have coming?
I'm cleaning out slabs. So if you're interested in slab books, I've got a huge selection of keys, both minor and major, as well as just books that I thought were cool and I bought because the best way to preserve a book, in my opinion, is having it a slab. So if you're looking for anything slab, if you have any suggestions you're looking for, hit us up, let us know. We'll add it to the live show.
And that is tonight, October 22nd, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific at Bronze and Modern Gods on Instagram. That's the only place. Make sure you go. And now it is time for everyone's favorite segment, viewer mail.
You've got mail.
First piece of viewer mail is from Tim, who emailed us at bronzeandmoderngods@gmail.com. John, I was listening to a podcast, and I thought I heard you mention that Kid Colt Outlaw number 107 was the first time aliens show up in the Marvel Westerns. I love that sentence. Am I right? I can't find that info anywhere else, and I want to buy one if that's the case. Love the podcast. Thanks, Tim. Thank you, Tim. Thank you. No. Kid Colt Outlaw 107 is not the first time an alien or a monster appeared in a Marvel Western. In fact, there were two prior to this. One of them's a technicality and one of them's a real one. And by that, I mean Two Gun Kid number 58 was actually the first time a monster or an alien appeared in a Marvel Western. And that was in February 1961, cover date. And the monster was actually a big tarp over something that, you know, the Native Americans used to scare the cowboys. But the cover, it's the most realistic looking tarp you've ever seen. It's got claws and a mouth and a face. That's a
wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty elaborate tarp. Later that year, in June of 1961, Rawhide Kid number 22, which you guys have seen on the show before, was released. That was the terrible totem. I'm going to get you, Rawhide Kid. And the terrible totem was indeed an alien who took the form of an Indian totem, and Rawhide Kid tricked him into falling off a cliff. The end. Spoiler. And Kid Colt 107 was in November of 1962, almost a year or later than a year after that. And that is the famous alien trapped in the West. His rocket ship is broken and Kid Colt helps him repair the rocket ship with, you know, the tech that was available in the Old West in America in the 1800s. I don't know. Do they use chewing tobacco?
Asbestos. Probably big patches of asbestos.
Big patches of asbestos. So those are the big three Marvel Western monster books you want to target.
Awesome. I have never collected any of the Marvel Western books, but the more I hear about them, the more a variety that I hear that I never really expected.
There's other covers too that are sort of tangentially related. Like there's the ghost cover of a Kid Colt, and there's the Phantom. So there's a lot of supernatural Marvel Western crossovers as well. You want to check those out. All right, Richard, what's your first piece?
My first piece is from A100. And this is in regards to the Next Generation, Star Trek The Next Generation. One thing about DC's ongoing 1989 Star Trek The Next Generation series was the cover paper. Like other new format titles, tended to be condition sensitive at the spine. When buying those new back then, it was easy to cherry pick the best copies at my LCS. A quick look at those at the upper left corners usually told the tale. That's really good information. So if you're looking for some of the Star Trek Next Generation, this is the ongoing series. We talked about the limited series last week. This is the ongoing series. If you're looking for some Star Trek Next Generation books, look at that upper spine. You can avoid picking up a copy that's not high grade.
Yeah, the new format was nice looking, but it was really crappy. The minute you open the book, it would crack all the way down the spine. You'll see this on books like Doom Patrol 19, the first Grant Morrison issue, some of those early Sandman and Hellblazer. It was just really, you think the paper stock is cheap now on the Marvels. This new format was, you know, it allowed full process color, but the paper stock was really sensitive. So be careful when you're looking for these things.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the tip.
My next piece is from Edison Brito, who emailed us at bronzeandmoderngods@gmail.com. Great job on your weekly videos. Thank you. Always look forward to watching them each week. I tried to buy my first ever NFT on Tuesday. Uh-oh, I know where this is going. In this case, I tried to purchase an Ultimate Fallout number 4 on my iPhone using the VV app. I waited patiently until the countdown hit zero, but unfortunately, the app could not secure a copy for me with each attempt due to high traffic, and it sold out in under 15 minutes. Oh, it sold out a lot quicker than that, my friend. Less than 1 second.
Yeah.
If this is going to happen to me every week, I'll never get to use the gems I purchased. Perhaps my iPhone is too old. Are there any tips you can share with your audience on how you both have been able to successfully purchase your NFTs thus far? I have a confession to make. I have skipped the last two drops because I didn't feel like missing out. Because the last two drops before then, I had the same problem you did. It was sold out the minute I hit the buy now button. And it's kind of sapped my enthusiasm, frankly. I did buy stuff in the marketplace the minute it went live for, you know, 14 gems or 15 gems.
All right.
Because I had so many gems from before. So maybe that is the way to go. However, I do have some tips. As more users join, the competition is absolutely getting more fierce. Make sure you have the latest version of the app installed. I know that's been tripping a lot of people up if you don't have auto update installed on your iPhone for your apps. Test your router ping. If it's anything over 20 milliseconds, it's going to affect your chances. Here's mine from this morning. Woo, lightning fast, buddy. And here's something I kind of learned after the fact, and I'm giving it away. I'm giving it away for free. I shouldn't, but here it is. Don't give up after you get that error message. Keep clicking that buy now button over and over and over again for at least 2 minutes after the drop, because what happens is some of these reservations don't go through. Some people reserve an item and they don't have enough gems and they're trying to buy their gems. They don't buy them in time. And so they get put back on the market. This is called getting it on the rebound. So don't give up. I have actually gotten stuff on the rebound. So even when that error message appears, just clear it out real quick and hit buy it now. Just keep doing it over and over again.
Okay. I'm going to reveal a secret. Now that I got an Ultimate Fallout 4, I've got the secret rare. I actually ended up buying it, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
There is a process that I use. So if you go to the VV app and you sit there at the buy it now screen, and there's a timer that's counting down, I have noticed that timer is not accurate. It will drift over time. The longer you sit on that screen, the more inaccurate that timer is going to be. So when you get to that final second, it may be a second off. It may even be 2 seconds off.
Yes.
So it's really going to affect your chances to get that NFT. So what I do is 10 seconds before the timer runs out, I'll back off of that screen, go back onto it again. And then I am then trusting that timer is accurate enough within that typically 8 seconds that's left on the counter. And as soon as that timer goes to zero, hit a heartbeat and then hit the button. And I have not, you know, knock on wood, I have not ever not gotten an NFT when I've followed that process. So
they have had a couple of AMAs on Twitter Spaces this week. They are addressing a lot of these issues, they say, in future iterations of the app. There may even be a waiting room a la San Diego Comic-Con badges, Richard, which I know it's going to excite you.
Yes.
But, you know, there's reasons why they have not implemented CAPTCHA, because some bots can bypass CAPTCHA. And also, think about it. If you got a CAPTCHA that said, hey, hit all these with everyone with a boat, and you messed it up and you missed out, you'd be pissed there was a CAPTCHA, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So I kind of get it.
It's tough for them because the demand obviously outstrips the supply. Mm-hmm. So there is never going to be a system that they come up with that's going to satisfy 100% of the people.
Facts is facts.
Yeah. So, you know, the best they're going to be able to do is offer them up as fairly as humanly possible and let the people, you know, people who get them, and the people who don't have an opportunity to buy them on the marketplace.
There's also something to be said about the marketplace. Unless it's one of the 10,000 limited drops, they're pretty affordable on the marketplace about an hour, 2 hours after the drop. I mean, $14. If you really want one, you're really paying double what you should have. But if you want a common, they're pretty easy to get.
And that's what I've been, I always make sure I have a common of all, mainly because the common has the best cover, in my opinion. So regardless of what I get for the drop, I always get a common too, because I like the cover.
I was not a fan of the Mark Bagley ASM 50 exclusive cover. You know, I'm not a big Bagley fan as it is. So I just like, oh, that's it. All right.
Yeah. No, seriously, for that one, definitely the common was the best cover. And, you know, that's what I made sure I have. And, you know, if you buy it, typically these things are 14 gems, 15 gems within a window of them being released. That's fine. I mean, if you remember, we are all early adopters, people who are involved in this platform. And as early adopters, we are a limited set of people who have opportunities to collect these things. There are going to be other collectors that come behind us, and those collectors did not have an opportunity to get these drops at any price, initially. So their only option is to buy them from the marketplace. So as the pool of potential buyers increases, those values that you see now, the 14 gems, for example, for a common, everything's going to keep going up because, you know, there's going to be more demand to that limited supply.
That's why Marvel Comics number one common is up to $80 now, because it was the first one. All right, Richard, your next one is probably the most important question we've ever had on this show.
This is from Atheism is Awful. Sidebar, if that's a kitten, referring to Tinkerballs, make sure to check its collar frequently to make sure it's not outgrowing the notch.
Yes.
Yes. And we, this is not our first rodeo. I appreciate the message, but this is not our first kitten. We constantly monitor his and his sister's, because we have two out of that litter, their collars, and we will replace them as necessary. Actually, I'm surprised he actually still has his on, because we have cats that refuse to wear collars. Thank you for the concern. We will definitely make sure that his collar does not get too tight.
Richard is far too modest to tell you guys. So I will tell you, Richard and his family foster kittens. They do a lot of work with kitten rescue and fostering abandoned homeless kittens and getting them well. If they're ill, feeding them, making sure that they're ready to be adopted. And then they have the heartbreaking task of letting those kittens go to new families. And sometimes you have one like Tinkerballs that you just can't let go. And that's the case was there.
Yeah. He picked me. Let's put it that way. So it wasn't, we had a litter of four at that time, and we managed to return two of them to, to be adopted, but we foster failed on the other two. So you now have four cats.
Foster failing means a cat gets to live. Anyway.
I will live with us.
Yeah, I will take that any day. All right. My next piece of viewer mail is from Jeff, who emailed us at bronzeandmoderngods@gmail.com. This is in reference to selling comics. And Jeff writes, what if you have a book with no pricing history? In that case, would it be better to use an auction house and let the bidder set the price? Otherwise, it seemed like you'd just be guesstimating what price to set and potentially being way off. Well, crap, Richard, what do you think?
That's tough. I mean, there's a question as to why there's no pricing history. Is it a new book and there just aren't any opportunities or previous sales that have accumulated enough to be able to give a historical value? Or is the book potentially not collectible? I'm thinking of something on the lines of X-Men number one, where there's 8 million copies of it out there and people just
Buster Brown from the 1950s.
Right.
Giveaway. There's lots of books like that. They're old, but they don't necessarily have any demand.
Right. Scarcity does not imply value, unfortunately. So there's a lot of different reasons why a book could not have a pricing history. I'm assuming that you may have a new book, a book that just came out within the last year or so, and isn't a book that initially hit it off, like any of the Miles Morales books or the Champions books or what's hot now.
Go fishing. Seriously. By that, I mean, put it up on eBay and buy it now that you think is what you think it's worth, and go fishing. Leave the offer option open. See what you get. That happens all the time. You look on eBay, you see people put up books and they put up a crazy price because they're going fishing.
Yeah. I mean, don't go too crazy. If it's a new book, it depends how quickly you want to sell it. Look at other books similar to it that have the similar, same kind of particular value, and, price it that way. I frankly, Something Is Killing the Children, let's say there's a new book out and you don't have any idea how to price it. Look at the previous few issues of the book and use it as a benchmark. And like John says, what do you feel like it's worth? What would make you happy for a sale price? And set your, buy it now price to that and just put it up for an auction. And you could do both. You can have a book that has an auction and also a buy it now price and just see what happens.
The auction can tell you the truth. And by that, I mean, it can show the book is way in demand and you could get what you think you were going to get and beyond, or it could show you that nobody really wants it. The one thing I would caution you, if you do put it up for auction and let the people decide, is make sure triple check your description, the title, the issue number, your keywords. You don't want to put up a book mislabeled and then it only sells for $1.50 when it's worth, $1,500 because you called it the wrong thing. I've seen that happen. I've been the beneficiary of that myself.
Yeah, that's the problem with auctions. Auctions depend on the right people showing up and bidding on that book. If it's a book that has some value, but no one who is actually available or finds that listing wants to bid on it, then it's going to go for less than it would potentially go for. So, just make sure you get out of it what you think you want out of it. Don't overvalue it either. That's a potential hazard. The new book, you think it's worth $100, you put up for $100 and it's just not going to be worth that. So have realistic expectations for it and good luck.
All right, Richard, what is your last piece of viewer mail?
My last piece is from Paul D77.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul. Great show as usual, guys. Thank you. But there's one question I've been needing to ask more and more as every show passes. Exactly how many comic-related t-shirts do you both have? No, seriously.
Oh, well, today I'm wearing my Solar number 10 t-shirt from Valiant. You remember
this? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Okay, it's actually the second printing.
For those who don't know, it's a embossed black cover, so.
Don't tell them. Make them Google it.
I'm wearing one of my favorite shirts. I have one of these Avengers shirts. I have a number of shirts that are basically covers. I have about 15 comic book related shirts, but I tend to wear my favorites. There's some that just don't get a lot of circulation. if any particular comic book related t-shirt company wants to sponsor us and send us books, we used to do a new t-shirt, you know, every week. And we used to feature that, but that gets expensive and hard to store. So
I am not going to answer the question.
Why is that?
Because it's embarrassing. How many I have? Let's just say I have a big dresser and I have two drawers filled with comic book related t-shirts and stuff stacked up atop of the dresser because I have no room for them. But I will say I've gone through, if you look at all the videos, you know, we're almost near 100 episodes, by the way, Richard.
Oh, wow.
You will have seen me cycle through them, I think twice. I'm pretty good about trying to cycle through them in order so it doesn't look too repetitive. Today, I just gave up, I think, for the first time in show history and just wore a black shirt.
No, I for some reason, I love this Taskmaster Avenger shirt. It's one of my favorites. It's If I have my choice out of a stack of five t-shirts, including it, I will usually pick it.
Yep, we know. All right, it's time for the Instagram Market Watch with Elite_Comics. Joining us right now is Ali. Let's do that dance, Richard. And here he is right now, the man, the myth, the legend, Ali. From Elite_Comics 11. Ali, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Now, remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where you're at.
Yeah, we're at Elite_Comics 11. We are Instagram's premier consignment page. So head on over to Elite Comics 11. Check out some awesome books being made for sale every day.
And we've got three this week that, you know, you're just minor stuff. Nothing really big.
I was laughing too when he said that. I got three small books.
Yeah. We say sarcastically.
Nice mix. So yeah, as usual, let's highlight a few of the books that have sold on Elite Comics 11 recently. So the first one, it's Clone Wars number one, CGC 9.8, White Pages, first Ahsoka Tano. It sold for $2,699 on the page.
Richard, this is your book.
Yeah, this is to me is one of the major keys for Star Wars books right now. I am a huge Ahsoka Tano fan. I think she's going to be a pivotal character. Rosamund Dawson did an excellent job of portraying her recently in The Mandalorian. So this is a book to get. Now, the 90-day for this book was $27.90. So I think the price is right in line. The last sale was $23.80, but it's because there hasn't been any real recent Star Wars news. As soon as we start seeing, we're getting closer to the date that her solo series is going to launch, this price is going to look like a bargain compared to what you're going to see then.
And there's not a lot of them out there. And, you know, people that grab them are holding them. So to see one come to market is nice. And that is definitely well-deserved. I have a question, though, about this book. Actually, about the Clone Wars in general. Uh-huh. Is Ben Reilly in the Clone Wars?
That I don't know. Who's Ben Reilly?
Okay, that joke landed with a resounding.
Okay. Sorry. I'm in geek mode. I'm sorry.
Well, to Richard's point, I did want to say, like, and I've been telling people this, especially during our live shows, like, just generally, it seems like the Star Wars comics are kind of like cool right now, relatively speaking. That's going to change real quick here. Right. When the Disney Plus shows start hitting, I mean, we're almost at the end of the year. They're coming. So,
yeah. Richard, Ben Reilly was the spider clone.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay. Not even in context.
All right. What's the next one?
All right. The next one. It's a big one. Journey into Mystery 83. It's the first appearance of Thor. This one was a CGC 4.5 off-white to white pages. It sold for $14,350.
Yeah, that's another great price. It's another you're talking about blue chip Silver Age books. You don't get any closer to that than Jim 83. 4.5, there hasn't been one on GPA that sold in the past 90 days. The last sale was $15,600 back in June. So I think the price is also, again, it's actually a bargain. I think this is underneath what you would expect to see this book at this point in time.
Yeah, just wait until that Stone Men from Saturn Disney Plus series launches. First appearance right here, folks. I got your dad jokes all day.
Yeah, this one was a, you know, check Elite Comics 11 every once in a while. You know, we help people sell books. This is a really good price on a copy like this. Somebody just really wanted to get the transaction done on the selling side. So somebody got a bargain.
Looks that way.
That's what you look for. That's what you look for.
All right, the last one for today. This is a monster. Incredible Hulk number one. CGC 4.5 off-white to white pages. $30,200 here.
Is he man or monster?
Or both.
Or both.
Yeah, this book is a tough one. It just doesn't come up very often. The last sale on the GPA for this book was back in March for a 4.5, and that was for $13,838. So
if I would buy that at $13,000, oh, yeah.
Seriously, I think given the current market forces, I think that the selling price was right on line with what you'd expect to pay. Prices for these kind of blue chips, this is what people invest in, these type of blue chip books. And they're willing to pay the big dollars because they know over time they're going to get a return on their investment. So now's the time to buy these Silver Age keys before you just can't afford them.
World War Hulk is coming.
Yeah.
That's the big rumor now.
Yep.
And I also want to point out that, so since this is like a comparison with GPA and the data out there, this is an example of a grade where we haven't had a sale for a while. But if you actually look at the other grades that have sold recently, you kind of get to this price point. So this is an example of a lack of data and having to extrapolate a bit to get to where this is.
It really is, because if you look at more recent data for other, I'm just looking here trying to find something more recent. April for $30,000 for a 5.5. A signed Stan Lee copy for 5.0 for $30,000. The market has moved on from this price for March. So it's definitely another indicator that GPA and these data sites aren't really in touch with the most recent sales in the market, because not all of the sales are happening on eBay or ComicLink or any of the other auction houses. So, a lot of these transactions are happening on Instagram and other venues that they're not tracking. So it's another indicator that this is lagging behind the market.
Also, lack of inventory. How many copies have come to the market? I mean, this is a tough book. It's beautiful. Uh-huh. I want one. That purple cover.
They have not lasted on our page. So yeah. Hulk ones, I mean, they just do not last. So.
Yeah.
So tell us about AtCon.
So AtCon, yeah. So It's November 4th through 7th. It's right around the corner. It's going to be Elite Comics 11's virtual comic convention. It's going to be our fourth one. So we're talking massive live stream sales over 4 days, starting up November 4th. Our website will be launching shortly with the full schedule, so people will be able to see that. But yeah, coming up in November.
All right. T-shirts.
T-shirts, definitely. Lots of stuff just around the corner.
All right.
Mark your calendars, folks. Sorry, you don't want to miss this. It's always fun. It's a great hang, and you might get something that you need. Uh-huh. All right, Ali, I think you told everybody where you were just now, so I don't have to ask you to remind us, but thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Ali.
And thank you, Ali. Speaking of live sales, hey, a reminder, we're having a live sale tonight at Bronze and Modern Gods on Instagram only. Make sure Instagram, if you don't have Instagram, download it. It's fun. And then follow us. Type in Bronze and Modern Gods, just like it sounds. And you'll see us at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific tonight, October 22nd. We would love to have you there.
Yeah, please. Even if you're not interested in buying a book, stop by. We have a lot of fun during our live sales. They are not as serious as some. So we look forward to seeing you.
You will have Chicken Hand in attendance.
Yes, Tinkerballs will make his appearance.
Tinkerballs, the Elote Horn, all your favorites will be there. So make sure you join us tonight. And that's going to do it for us until next week. Richard, you have a great weekend.
Yeah, everybody stay safe, and you have a great weekend too.